This past Thursday, we observed Thanksgiving in this country, in the United States of America, that we live in here. And I'm glad that Noe is on this morning from Guatemala City, or Ciudad de Guatemala. Saludos a todos. Years ago, on a pastoral visit, my wife and I traveled to many, many countries, but we were in Spanish-speaking countries, but we were in Guatemala for the Day of Thanksgiving. We didn't go there for Thanksgiving, but we were there for Thanksgiving over the Thanksgiving Day. And the hotel we stayed at was fairly nice, not super fancy. I never took abuse or advantage of brethren's tithes and donations and contributions. So it was fine, but they advertised this big black chalkboard with white chalk on it. They were having Thanksgiving dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the hotel. And I thought, that's interesting. This is Guatemala. It's called El Día de Gracias, Day of Thanks. But so I inquired how much that was going to cost. Now, the dollar was worth a lot more at that time in Guatemala, probably still is. But that meal was like $29. And this was far enough back, that would be like close to $75. And I thought, there ain't no Thanksgiving. I'm going to pay that kind of money anywhere. So I said, by the way, are you going to have turkey? And they were all excited. Yeah. I said, well, could I see it? And they said, sure. So they brought me back in the kitchen and they showed me the turkeys. And I've seen better chickens, bigger chickens in the United States. You know, you go to Anthony Kimmins' house, he's got, I don't know how many, at least 115 or so, or 30 chickens. I don't know, maybe 2, 3. I don't know what he has, but yeah, Eric Myers has about 25, I think, or 20 something. But it was tiny. I said, those aren't turkeys. Oh yeah, these are turkeys. I'm like, somebody's a turkey, but they're not these. I'm not paying this. They look like chickens. It was quite expensive. So we decided to go to a Chinese restaurant down the street and split a meal. And we probably had a larger meal for a cheaper price. I guarantee a cheaper price. But the thing about Chinese food, you just eat more rice. It's like going to Olive Garden, you know. If you can have it, you just eat more. If you get all you can eat salad and soup, you just eat more of those heart attacks that you hold with your finger, those breadsticks. And they always come up and say, do you want some more? And of course, you know, they got so much salt and butter on them. Although my dad, who's deceased now one time, he's deceased, period, now. And there was one time, that sounds better. There was one time that we went to an Olive Garden in North Carolina. I brought him down to visit us as a gift. And we went to Olive Garden. He said to the lady, I need some butter. She said, okay, for what? He said, the breadsticks. And we thought that was funny because they got so much butter and salt on them already. But maybe this time of year, many of you enjoyed family, friends, or brethren to your homes, or perhaps traveling somewhere. I know we were blessed to have our children and grandchildren here with us for this week. And I don't know when they're going home for sure, but I think Monday or Tuesday. And we love them dearly, but I'm just blessed to have them here. It's a busy time of year for most. Probably not best to say most anymore, but it's a time of year for reflection and gratitude and thanks. Indeed, it should be. But what I'm finding is, as time marches on, and time indeed is continuing along, isn't it, Denny? As time marches on, as we say, much of this nation has become so obsessed with Christmas in December. Thanksgiving is, and I'm not a prophet, but I make a prediction that in not too many years, Thanksgiving will just be a bygone thing that took place. because they'll go straight from Halloween. My granddaughter's got a snack. How dare you do that in front of me? She looked at me and went, But Thanksgiving, I think at some point, will just be a thing of the past. I noticed this year, the stores, the music, the decorations came out well before Thanksgiving in a lot of places. I went into Dollar Tree to, we were there to get something for my granddaughter. I think grandma gave her some money. Great grandma gave her some money. And we went to Dollar Tree and it was like, man, is it like a week before Christmas? It was packed with people, all the Christmas things you buy. And you know, another thing that's taken place, and this is all going to make sense in a minute, many focus on such a big discount shopping day. It used to be called Black Friday. Now they have Black Fridays throughout the year and Cyber Monday. And I forgot what I was going to buy on Friday, Tuesday. And what should have we bought on last week, 3 weeks before on Wednesday? And Thanksgiving Day has merely become a day to watch football, eat way too much, and take a nap. Although those things in and by themselves are not wrong. But I want us to stop and reflect, and I wrote about a little bit of this in my letter last night or yesterday. With that in mind, I want to dig into the Word of God, this, and see what you and I might learn and benefit from to build on our relationship with our Father and His Son. One of the most oft-repeated scriptural admonitions is to remember God's blessings and then thank Him for them. It kind of rolls off people's tongues. And one of the things we say a lot, it's become almost just a saying with not much behind it, oh, thank God. Right? And if we're not careful, that will affect us as well. Psalm 133 is about unity, but Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I'm reading from my notes because I can see better. I have my Bible in case there's a scripture that comes to mind that I want to turn to that I don't have in my notes, which does happen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget all of His benefits. Then it enumerates some of those. Who forgives all your iniquities, all your lawlessness, all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Think about those things. We have become a nation in spite of the challenges we face. We are a bunch of spoiled, rotten little kids. Honestly, we are. Because, as I've said before, I've traveled all over the world quite extensively. My wife and I have together. I've been in some very undesirable conditions of where brethren and people live. And fellowship, and meet, and worship. We are so blessed. You know, last night I said, I can't get anything into the fridge. There's just stuff everywhere. And then I thought about, it's true. You know, you have people come visit, they bring all their food, and if they have two kids, they bring all kinds of stuff that you don't normally eat. It's packed. You can't get a toothbrush in there hardly without stuff falling out. I've been to many places, remember, You open the fridge, if they have a fridge, and most of them didn't, but if they have a small little fridge, and it's got one item sitting on the shelf. That's it. And so many times I've gone to places, and they might, this has happened, we know this, Gail, they feed the pastor, feed his wife, and I'm like, is everybody else eating? We don't have any food. I'm like, bring them out, and I'll share what I have with everybody. And they're like, no, that's for you. How many times does that happen? And I've insisted, and then I've pushed the plate away and offended them and said, I won't eat unless you come out. And so then all the kids come out, and then maybe the dad and the mom, and I start cutting it, and I share that with them. And I think about this on Thanksgiving when I see these tables filled with the blessings, you know? And it's just how many different things. So let's take a look at and be reminded of some of these blessings today. I'd like you to put these three capital letters on your notes today. Can you hand me a Kleenex out of there? There's one in there, yeah. I'd like you to put these three letters at the top of your notes today. Thank you. F-I-T. F-I-T. Fit. And the title, if you like that, some of you like titles. Are we thankfully fit? Now, I'm sure some of you read this and thought, great, he's going to give us a health food lecture. Spiritually, yes. Physically, I've learned a long time ago, you do what you do, you can suggest stuff, but people are going to do what they do. Period. Are we thankfully fit? So I want to look at some of the many blessings. Let's look at three today. Number one, the first blessing that we must never forget and be intricately focused on, what God does for us. That's the F. What God does for us. We could add a long list of additional things that God does for us. I'd suggest later today, please do this. Take a piece of paper and write down some examples and then take a look at them every day this month of December coming up, starting tomorrow, as you pray and begin each day. Just take that list and write on there and say, wow. Psalm 91, I'm going to read a lot of verses, New Living Translation here. I choose different translations because sometimes it's a little bit clearer. Some are like, it has to be the original Jewish Bible or Hebrew Bible, or it has to be the Masoretic text, or it must only be the language that Christ spoke, which was the 1611 authorized version of the King James, which Christ spoke mostly Aramaic, by the way. So that doesn't hold water. But I had a lady one time, I've told this story, she was furious with me. She said, what version are you using? And so I said, well, she said, I want the one that Christ spoke. I said, well, I don't have that. She said, well, what do you, yes, you do, you're reading, but you're adding words to it. And I said, I'm just changing these and thous to you and them. She said, no. I said, that was written about 1611. It's in English. I said, Christ didn't speak English. Psalm 91. Verse 1, a psalm to be sung on the Sabbath day, by the way. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Verse 9, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For we will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Verse 14, the Lord says, okay? The Lord says, and I'm using the word Lord because it's of the Tetragrammaton, the YHVH, which I'm sorry, but there are no vowels, even though, there's new information. No, that's not true. There are no vowels. It's Lord. It means has always been, always will be. I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, as Revelation says. So I use, it says the Lord says, you could say the eternal, the ever-living being. I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and I will honor them. So God's blessings even extend beyond this life. Verse 16. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. I think about my life, and I've said this before, and it's, as Walter Brennan would say, no brag, just fact. I've faced death. I got hit by a car when I was about 12. I have been taken out to be executed. I've been held at gunpoint, knife point, hopefully to not become disemboweled. And so salvation, I think of physically, if I only look at the physical part for me, I had a bad accident in Charlotte in 2015 that was just awful. And I really didn't get much damage except for the wrists and then the stress on my body that exacerbated diabetes really bad. But I think of just the physical part. And then you have the spiritual part, that you think of God opening our minds to the opportunity to live forever. Not in heaven staring at people, because that's not where you go when you die. The Bible doesn't teach that. But to live forever. That means Bruce and I, buddy, we got to spend a long time together. Maybe we'll get on opposite ends of the universe or something, but I'm kidding. Salvation, life upon repentance and yielding to our Father and His Son. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a gift. You can't earn it. You cannot fast and pray and give penance and live a life of poverty and all the things people do and earn your way into heaven. You're not going to go to limbus infantum and purgatory. That is not in the Bible. That's a doctrine of men. That's not biblical. That's not the truth. Sorry, it's not. You can't earn salvation. You can't keep the proper exact calendar or keep the Sabbath exact or dress exactly right or eat exactly right. You can't do it all and earn salvation. It is a gift. People get hung up on all this stuff. Our righteousness, the best we can do be righteous, is as filthy rags, to quote the good book. And it even goes further in great description what that rag is. John chapter 14, again, the New Living Translation, chapter one, verses 1 to 3. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you. You will always be with me where I am. One of the things Christ promised to do for God's people, our Father's people, after his resurrection, was to prepare a place. And it doesn't mean in heaven in all these little rooms. No, it's positions of responsibility and service. The thrust of the first few verses of this chapter is an assurance from Christ to his disciples they would have a place with him, that he would not abandon them. Nowhere does the Bible refer to heaven as my Father's house. However, Jesus called the temple my Father's house in John chapter 2, verse 16. Mansions translates from a word that means places of dwelling. Built around the exterior wall of the temple were many chambers for the priest to use when counseling worshipers privately. Not confession booths, but places where they could meet and talk with them. The people hearing Christ were familiar with the temple and therefore would immediately associate these words in this passage with those chambers. Jesus told his disciples he was going to prepare a place, a position for service for them. Here's a question. Where will Christ be when his disciples rejoin him? Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says he will be on earth fulfilling a prophecy given to the apostles by the angels. There in Acts 1, 11. His return fulfills a multitude of kingdom prophecies in the Old and the New Testament. Beyond assuring the disciples that they would be with him, Christ also conveyed he would give them important positions of authority, serving as kings and priests and ruling with him in the coming kingdom. Revelation 20, verse 6, and Revelation 5, verse 10 confirm that is every Christian, every person God will ever call that responds and yields to him and repents, their potential. And one thing, as we'll go through, that all these benefits or blessings have in common is that they are all things that God does for us, for you, and for me. Now, there's a couple other ways I want to discuss today. And God, ways that God blesses us, our Father blesses us, they're just as important that we need to remember them and be thankful for them. The second one is what God does in us. So there's the I. You have for us, which is the F, and now you have I for in us. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18 in the New King James. That just means the King James with a few of the these and thous and things taken out. If I taught that way to you and said, betwixt the two, I doeth think that thou wouldst be hungry eventually upon, you would say, what? So just talking between you and me, you're going to be hungry in a little bit. If you love me, John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, not men's commandments, not men's traditions, keep my commandments. And most out there ignore that. Many of you watching this or watching this later will say, oh boy, here goes this guy, this old, you know, ritual follower. That was all done away with Christ at Calvary. Oh, sorry, no, it was not. If they keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever. The translators changed that to he. It's not a he, it's an it. The Holy Spirit is not a personage or a being or a God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus promises his disciples that he would dwell in them, by the means of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that is in the Father and in the Son, Jesus the Christ. John chapter 14, verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice. You would be happy. You would say, woohoo, like your favorite football team just made a touchdown. Okay? You would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. It's true, because he could do more in them, by means of his indwelling presence, than he could do for them while present with them in the flesh. The same is true for all of God's children down through the ages. When I pastored in the Carolinas for right at 6 years, maybe a hair more, every sermon I gave, I quoted a scripture. And those of you, I know we have some from the Carolinas that watch and fellowship with us on the Sabbath. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? There's that I again. In you. I'm going to read a couple other scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romanos 8, versículo 5 y 9. That's for Noé. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is against God, its enmity, it's not being subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Wait a minute. What did that just say? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have that Spirit of Christ, which is the same Spirit, he is not his. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In the New Living Translation, it's a little bit different, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you desire and the power to do what pleases him. Now, it's interesting the word works. Back in the New King James, Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and do his good pleasure. It's the Greek energeo, E-N-E-R-G-E-O. Origin of the English word energy. So it could be said that God energizes us to do what pleases him. So if we're doing something that doesn't please him, that's not his Spirit. That's us. Usans or youans, right? We went through this in detail in the Bible Basics. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These are all qualities of character that God develops in us by means of his presence within us through the Holy Spirit. And we can also get sidetracked into thinking, well, that's God's Spirit, when it's us, our own mind, our own doings, our own studying, our own research, our own observance and worship of God. And we can get all excited about it. But many times, it's not God, the Father, or his Son. It's not his Spirit. It's us. And it doesn't please him. But we think it does, but it doesn't. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, Romanos 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. And if you want to find out if you're allowing that to happen when you're instructed by the Word of God and you kick against it and you're recalcitrant and you say, that's not what I believe, that's not what I've researched, that's not how I worship, that's not how I live, not a good place to be. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. There are many different really weird things out there that will capture your attention and your intrigue, and they will change the way you think. The Masons are good at this. Okay? They will attempt. Many religions of the world, okay, will change the way you think to where you think up is down, right is wrong, black is white. And what's real is not real. And you'll get caught up in it because it says ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because it's your own vanity in your mind, in your heart. It's not God's Spirit. And so the blessing we have is what God can do in us if we'll let him. And stop kicking against it. And don't be enamored with those gifted, as our adversary was to Eve in the Garden of Eden and every other human being that's ever lived. It's the most wonderful time of the year, coming up December 25th. Isn't that beautiful? Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Isn't it beautiful? Doesn't it just melt your heart and make you want to cry and weep and love everybody and just make cinnamon rolls for all your neighbors that you don't talk to the rest of the year? And put that beautiful tree up and wait for St. Nicholas to come ho, ho, ho all the way down your chimney. It's beautiful. The problem is, it's totally against what God's Word says. So it's not him living in you. It is a deception. Ah, but I have a special calendar I observe. Ah, what have I found? I was taught by somebody, and now look what I've found. Just me and you, Bruce, are the only two people in the world that know it. But we are right. And you take all the different things you want to fill in to observe. And Christ said, my Father and I must live in you through his Spirit. So what? You change. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Number three, the tea of the fit. You got for us, in us, and now what God does through us. There's the T. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Pedro 2, versículo 5. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's why I've been writing about the new covenant. Because it's not the old covenant. It is not physical things. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now they obtain mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, okay? Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the nations, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitations. It doesn't mean just specifically, oh, you went and did this or did that project or did this. That can be part of it. But how do you live? How do you live? Do you love others? Do you care for them? Are you compassionate? But here's the kicker. We can't do this on our own. John chapter 15, verse 4, again, the New Living Translation. Remain in me, John 15:4, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit, it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. You are not the vine. And some people think they are the vine to water all the branches. No. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Matthew chapter 5 in the New King James. Matthew 5 verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set up on a hill can't be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, one of the things that the Jews were very sure on, they talked about it with each other often. No man kindled his own light. Jerusalem was indeed a light to the nations, but God lit Israel's lamp. The light with which the nation, the man of God, shone was a borrowed light. So lest we get puffed up in our own conceit of how knowledgeable we are, how wonderful, how Christian we are, how good we are, remember that light's borrowed. It's shared. We didn't create it. And so it must be with a Christian. It's not the demand of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we should, as it were, produce our own light. Please think about that, some of us. Because anything we produce on our own, think about that. We must shine with a reflection of His, our Father and His Son, their light. The radiance which shines from the Christian comes from the presence of our Father and His Son, Christ, within. We must depend on God for what He will do for us, in us, and through us. That's the fit. Does it fit? Are we fit? Are we thankfully fit? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what we are. I can tell you, I feel like an earthen vessel. I have to have help to be dressed, to put my socks on, to tie my shoes, to buckle my belt, to zip up my zipper. It's almost humiliating, but it is what it is. This is an earthen vessel. I don't just go, and I'm dressed. The excellence of the power may be God, of God, and not of us. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, a little bit different, the New Living Translation. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. It makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. I want to read poetry. It's called The Master's Vessel. The author is unknown, so hopefully I won't get sued for this. It's called The Master's Vessel. The master was searching for a vessel for use. On the shelf there were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value, and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest, and for someone like you, master, gold would be the best. The master passed on, and with no word at all, he looked up at a silver urn, narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear master. I'll pour out your wine, and I'll be at your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carvings so true, and my silver will always compliment you. Unheeding, not listening, the master passed on to the brass. It was wide-mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Hear, hear, cried the vessel. I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me. Remember, pick me from Shrek. Look at me, called the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my content so dear. Though fragile I am, I will serve you with pride. I'm sure I'll be happy in your home to abide. The master came next to a vessel of wood, polished and carved, it solidly stood. You may use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said, but I'd rather ye be use me for fruit, not for bread. Then the master looked down, and he saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and to make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend it and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one who is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, or the one who displays his contents so proud, nor the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with my power and my might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it, and he filled it that day. He spoke to it kindly. There's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour into you. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, if you'd go there with me. God refers to Paul as a chosen vessel of mine heart to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. We are also vessels for God to use to accomplish his purpose. May we glorify him by how we worship, how we live, how we treat each other, how we raise our families, how we interact with our neighbors. In John chapter 14, verse 12, he says, I tell you the truth, John 14, 12. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with my Father. Verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So we need, friends, brethren, family, to remember and thank God for all of his benefits. But that includes not only what he does for us, but also what he's doing in us and through us. A good way to remember this is what I started with today by the first letters of the first three categories, which form an acronym of FIT, F-I-T. I happen to have a Fitbit on my wrist here. And every time I click on that, I think of that. So God makes us spiritually fit by what he does for us, in us, and through us. And no Christian should ever think of fitting himself for honor, but always as fitting himself for service. In fact, that in fact is the very destiny that Christ is preparing for you and for me. So we need to be sure to be receptive of what God is doing for us, to remember his blessings for us, in us, and through us, because that is what living God's way of life, his way of life is all about. So I'll leave you with a question. Are you and I, thankfully, fit? Join me in prayer if you would. Our Father, God, we come before you. We're so grateful and thankful to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. We're blessed for you to open our minds to the truth. Help us to be humble, to be teachable, to be meek, to not become arrogant and filled with our own knowledge, our own puffiness, our own vanity, our own humanity. And be about, Father, loving you and your Son with all our heart, soul, and mind, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. Help us to worship you according to what you reveal, not what we think or what we've come upon or what some group has told us. And be very careful, Father. Be very careful to remain solidly anchored to your word, the entire word of God, by which we may be edified and grow in grace and knowledge. Father, live in us, please. Forgive us. Be patient with us. Be kind with us. We pray that you'll bless the meal today. Thank you for it. Thank you for everyone here. Father, protect us from the evil one and help us to truly pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this, we pray for dismissal now, and ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.